56. KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon. Darcia Stebbins in solo, as Kevin Will puts it. And here in studio, we have lots to talk about today. Wanted to highlight a few things that have been going on that are now blowing up as national news with a San Luis Obispo County voter. So Gateway Pundit had an article out that showed a video from someone just videoing. He kind of goes up and down the streets of San Francisco and showed a video of a table set out where and a long line of people where they were getting paid $5 for their signature. And as he got up to the table, the organizers there were having people sign for a person that is living in Avila Beach. Now, I won't give out her name. I think it should be private, but in the article, it does give her name. In the video, it does give her name and that she's in Avila Beach. And just to have this person sign their name as this person. So, obviously, it's alarming. Now, the person that shoots these videos, he goes up and down different streets and shows the literally drug addicts that are going to it's called a harming center, a no harm center or harm diversion center or something like that, where they pass out drugs and paraphernalia and things to be able to have these people feed their addictions. So there's a whole line of people that are just kind of up against a building, and they're waiting to get paid $5 for their signature. So apparently the San Luis Obispo County Clerk Recorder is right on top of it. She has sent the information to to the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State is starting an investigation. I'm not sure what has happened with that investigation. I have been able to confirm that it is a real person, and I would hope that people would be at least have this person's identity remain private. But it does call attention to many of the things that I've been alerting us to in our elections. And we'll go right to the air. It is Open Mic Friday today, so we'll go right to the call on. Oh, and it looks like they were not able to get through. Please do call back if that was you. Thank you. And so it calls attention to, first of all, who were these organizers? What petition were they having people sign? It was for the initiative that is to counteract the billionaire's tax. And the group is called Building a Better California. They are very well funded by the co-founders of Google, and millions of dollars going into this campaign where they need signatures in order to get the initiative on the ballot. So they have the backing, and this group is getting signatures on their initiative. The problem is they're getting signatures. They already have names on the on this initiative, or they already have identified people on this initiative and having the people in line get paid $5 for their signature. So that is illegal to get paid for your signature, and it's also illegal to be signing for someone else other than you. And welcome to Sound Off. How are you?
Hi, Darcia. Hey, what's the latest in the courts other than the pending one in the Supreme Court regarding fraud in these elections?
So there have been numerous issues. One, the Save America Act is trying to have voter ID. That is likely going to have to come up against the filibuster. That's in the Senate now. It's passed the House. So there's that. There's also Trump's executive order from 2018, and that one I believe is going to come into play. That is executive order 13848. And what that one does is that there you can declare a state of emergency if you have determined that there has been foreign interference in our elections. And who of the cabinet secretaries have been talking about foreign interference in our elections? I believe that will come into play. So President Trump has said that he will be issuing an executive order if we can get passed, and he's willing to hold up whatever activities and the funding of even the TSA and funding of the Health and Human Services and holding up the funding of the government in order to pass the Save America Act. Is that what you're referring to? Oh, we got some background noise there.
No, that's okay.
And is that what you're referring to? So there's several things at many different levels. And of course, when you have the subpoena out there for the election records in Fulton County, Georgia, going back to 2020 election, the November 2020 election, you now have subpoenas issued for Maricopa County, Arizona. That's the 2020 and 2022 and 2024 elections. So I think we're coming to California.
Good. Have they ever done an audit on the machine in San Luis?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that. So that gets into some technical issues. And I'll go ahead and do you have another question? I'll address that off the air.
You address that off the air.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. And so asking about whether or not there's been an audit of the tabulators. So we have a couple different machines, quote unquote, and now a new machine that's a sorting machine in San Luis Obispo County. But the machines that we have, there's one that is the election management system. That is an electronic database of all of the voters on the, quote, San Luis Obispo voter rolls. But as we've discussed before, and as most of you know, that the California state voter rolls are not really each county's voter rolls. It has to be maintained statewide. So the Secretary of State then, right before the election, kind of sends down to each county, okay, here are your voter rolls. And they periodically, they're syncing up, and the voter rolls, statewide voter rolls, the VoteCal system, can be accessed and can be changed by various organizations, including the Department of Motor Vehicles. When you put in a change of address within 10 days of moving, the U.S. Postal Service also has a change of address mechanism, the NCOA. There's also the Social Security Administration. There's the county coroners, the sheriff coroners that are reporting when people are deceased. And there's also the court system that indicates when someone is incarcerated. That also could come from the sheriff. And when they may be legally incapacitated, let's say there's a conservator. So the voter rolls are changing minute by minute, maybe every 5 minutes. But periodically, they are supposed to be syncing up with other statewide data. So That's the election management system that controls who's voting. So who gets sent a vote-by-mail ballot. And now there is no such thing really as an absentee vote-by-mail ballot. Everyone on the active registered voter rolls receives a vote-by-mail envelope. Sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes four. And in the case of Sheriff Chad Bianco, who's also running for governor, his son received five ballots in Riverside County. So the issue is that we have problems with the voter rolls. And when you don't have voter ID, when you don't have a physical person standing in front of you to place a vote, it is where it's our elections, it's difficult to say that our elections are secure. And so that's been my issue. That's one of them. And the other one is that we have tabulators that are not just optical scanners, tabulators that are counting the votes. So we have another call, and I can follow up a little bit more with that, but let's go to the phone lines. Hi, welcome to Sound Off.
Hi, Darsha. Shannon Kessler calling in. I'm a candidate for Assembly District 30.
Hi, Shannon. So tell us a little bit about where District 30 starts and stops and who's in District 30, because it's confusing for people to be able to determine, am I in Shannon's district? And most of the people listening are.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm a candidate for this district. The current representative is Dawn Addis, and member of the Democrat supermajority. And if you live anywhere from the east side of Nokomo all the way up closer to the coast to Capitola, Aptos, and even up to the Santa Cruz Pier, below the Santa Cruz Pier, that is District 30. And yet, it doesn't include the Oceano Dunes, the vast and gerrymandered district. So my son, who lives, for example, right next to Nipomo High School in Nipomo, can't even vote for me in this election because he's in the district going south. So I'm recommending that he vote for Sari Dominguez. And that's how funny the lines are. It really is a large district. It's very stretchy, like kind of like a pregnant snake is about the shape of it, is what I would call it.
Heard it was described as the ribbon of shame.
Yeah, interestingly, it was a pretty consistently Republican seat and district until they gerrymandered it right before 2022, and Dawn Addis won her seat.
And so a lot of Monterey County and part of Santa Cruz County in any San Benito?
No. To my knowledge, it does not. Yeah, definitely doesn't include San Benito because I recently have been and turned in my paperwork and turned in my signature in lieu forms, and I did not have to turn them into San Benito County, but I did have to turn signature forms into Santa Cruz County, San Luis Obispo County, Monterey County as well. And so dealing with three different clerk recorders and driving up and down that coast, and I won't complain about that because what a beautiful part of the country that is.
I go back and forth between Santa Barbara and people say, gosh, that's a long drive. And I said, yeah, it's 2.5 hours of green hills and the most beautiful scenery. You pop out over Gaviota and you have the ocean. And so I understand it. The Central Coast is just the most amazing.
It is. One interesting thing that I love too is I made sure I'm somewhat familiar with Monterey County from showing horses, showing animals at Monterey County Fairgrounds. And I wanted to double check. I was like, hey, up there, do they also call themselves the Central Coast? And they do. So that's why my motto is Central Coast Common Sense.
Okay. Now, Dawn Addis had the Moss Landing emergency. What would you call it? Disaster. I'll call it a disaster.
Well, You're right. It's a disaster. I have talked with several scientists on this, and David Hurwitz and Michael Hogan. Michael Hogan is a nuclear physicist. He has trained me, coached me on this, and they call it a continuing explosion because what was happening with those. It's not just one blast. They basically continuously explode emitting particles into the atmosphere and even into the ground and water for miles, miles to the west over those fields. So it was a huge disaster, and it was on her watch. And I find it interesting that she has done a 180 in trying to insinuate that she's opposed to this, or we have to have more safety. But this project was fast-tracked at a state level, and I think that she needs to answer for that. And so do our other state leaders. You know, these kind of facilities should not be going in to environmentally sensitive locations such as Moss Landing. And I'm glad to see a pause, hopefully a permanent end to any possibility of there being one in Morro Bay, which would be in a very similar setting, right on the water, in a tourist area. Absolutely.
With the estuary nearby.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And this
Moss Landing is an estuary.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spoken firsthand with people who survived that, and they literally had to abandon everything, people that lived on their boats. And this is a marine sanctuary, an estuary. Why would there be something that potentially dangerous placed there in the first place?
And this is a battery This is a battery storage facility that caught fire. It was a prior, was it active at that point where they had liquid natural gas? And I think it was.
It's lithium ion battery,
mm-hmm.
and they are explosive with water. Anyway, and the technology is improving all the time. And these were my understanding is that these are the older types. So there are newer types of battery storage. So I'm not a scientist here, but there are newer. There's technological advances that are making this safer. So I understand that we need battery storage with AI and so much moving that needs to store energy for, but they should be placed in places that are safer, and you could even use sodium ion batteries. Some of my science friends have been teaching me about that, and they're not nearly as dangerous, and they could be placed in non-residential areas. You may have noticed, too, in our beautiful state, there's a lot of open land. So what about placing them in some of the more remote locations where there aren't as many people around?
Excellent. And I think with the data centers that are going in, one of the provisions is that they have to provide their own electricity and their own water for the cooling. And one of the main issues is that when you have the lithium ion, it's charging and discharging and charging and discharging and charging, and that creates heat. And so that's been one of the main issues, is trying to how to keep it all cool. And so you have a huge draw on electricity and a huge draw on water for the cooling. So now, Shannon, what other issues are there that are near and dear to your heart in your campaign?
Well, people may be familiar with the name Save Girls Sports Central Coast. I founded that organization around a year ago after speaking up for girls in our region who are having to share their locker rooms with boys. And I hate the fact that I even need to say this, but I'll clarify what a boy is a biologically male human being. And these girls are real girls, and now boys are being allowed into their locker rooms simply because the boy, the male person, claims that he's female. So him saying that he's female is enough for a school to permit him to be in a girl's locker room. And I'm not saying that these young people that are declaring themselves to be trans are not welcome to be in school. I've never said this. They simply should be in the locker room that matches their biological sex. And these girls have spoken up against this. They came to me. They said they were disturbed by it. They're my friend's daughters. Both my children went to Lucy Amar Unified School District, Arroyo Grande High. And there's several young people going in bathrooms and locker rooms that don't match their biological gender. And particularly the girls were traumatized by this, having a boy that they've known since they were young. More than one boy now, there's a few. And I decided to start speaking for them, and courage is contagious, so then they started speaking. Now the girls have spoken up and down. They've spoken to CIF just to say we should not be sharing a locker room, sports, and bathrooms with boys.
Well,
and that's a heart issue for sure. As a former athlete myself, mom of an athlete,
Yes, and I was agreeing with you because as an athlete as well, growing up, I was I benefited from Title IX, but all of mine was voluntary, and we're going to go to a break. But thank you for your courage, and thank you for standing for the Central Coast. And please, if there's anything we can do, we have ballots that'll be coming out in the primary. So I think they'll be delivered somewhere around May 3rd or 4th. Shannon Kessler, how can we get a hold of you?
Kessler4ca.com, KesslerForCA.com.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219910.
Propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online deltaliquidenergy.com.
And good afternoon. Welcome back to Sound Off. This is Darsha Seven sitting in solo for Darsha and Kenny show. Kenny is still hopefully out and about and enjoying some vacation time, well deserved. And we got into a little bit with Shannon Kessler, who had just called in, about some of the issues that we have been discussing and spending quite a bit of time on here, because Kenny is a trustee of the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District. And I was going to mention to Shannon, she may not have realized that in Paso Robles at the high school, one of the items that came up finally as an agenda item on the Paso School Board meeting, which was a couple weeks ago, was that, oh, there was in fact privacy spaces in the boys' locker room at the high school, but there weren't at the girls' locker room. And that was news to the superintendent, and that was news to trustee Kenny Enney, who was on a tour to just see what could be done. And so, I mean, it's just, it's disgusting on several different levels. And now that the Paso Robles School Board is wanting to put forward a $220 million school bond, I think the community of Paso Robles really needs to consider this and have some way to be able to help our children, protect our children. And, you know, what are they proposing that we're going to get for this money? There's 30,700 registered voters approximately. And even with $220 million being the dollar amount, which after 30 years or 40 years, and they push it out even further, the payback amount to the bondholders, when the school district is paying this amount, it actually ends up just like a mortgage, where you're paying about two and a half times the principal amount, depending on how far out it goes and what the interest rate is. So the Lucia Marr School District that Shannon was referencing, Lucia Marr School District put out a $143.2 million bond just recently. And that amount, I think it was ending up being over $300, maybe $320 million over the time frame that they were talking about. Now, some of those are callable, and I know there's all the, you know, well, no, it's not that bad. Well, it actually is bad, because you are obligating the taxpayers of that district. And when we have 30,700 registered voters, that dollar amount, even at $220 million, breaks down to about $7,500 per registered voter. So a household who maybe have children in the district, maybe don't have children in the district, $15,000, and that's just at $220 million. That's not even amortizing it out. So when we're talking about that kind of money, I'm pretty sure that as a community, we can come together and have some solutions when we have declining enrollment in the school. We have the grades, you know, the test scores that are at the meet or exceed is in the 20s and 30%. When we have all of the issues that have come up that are just human issues, you know, let's focus on education. And so I'm giving this time as if Kenny Enny was here, but I'm giving this time so that people recognize that this is going to become a huge issue in our local area here. Templeton and Atascadero, those districts passed their school bonds in the November 2024 election, along with the Lucia Marr. There are still some interesting things going on with the election results. I'll just say that my work has not finished. As some of you know, the county clerk recorder had, we had two recounts in 2022. One was the District 4 race with Jimmy Paulding and Lynn Compton, and the other one that we did what we could to try to recount the ballots, if nothing else. But there's a lot of information that we also, and data that we gathered during that point in time. So the two were the District 4 supervisorial race, that was June of 2022, and the District 2 with Bruce Gibson and Bruce Jones in the November 2022. And it was the second one, the November one, where the county clerk recorder, Elena Cano, decided to sue me, and because she said that we, the recounters, and because I was the head of the recounters, that we owed the county more money as reimbursement for conducting the recount. And I was able to show, and the judge was able to affirm for me that no, we in fact did not owe that money. So I didn't, she made it personal. I've always tried to be very respectful of everyone at that office. But when you have things like this issue from San Francisco, where you have people signing for somebody else, it just highlights we must have secure elections. It is part of the republic. And to have representation, we need to know that our vote is counting for exactly the same person that we voted for. So on the other side of the break, I want to talk about the waterboarding that occurred last night. And if you have any questions, comments about elections or the waterboard, please call in 805-238-5775.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.